In the name of the God who created us, the Christ who redeems us, and the Spirit that sustains us all, welcome home, children of God. It is a joy to see everyone this morning. A few announcements in the life of the church. First, as always, thank you all for the time away to refresh and to be with my study group and to do the two meetings that I had in Chicago. They were very rewarding, and you'll be hearing a lot more about those during Advent. We had a great Advent planning week as a study group and learned a lot about grant writing in Chicago, and it was a really productive trip, but I am very, very glad to be home. And thank you to all of our volunteers and everyone who made the Fall Festival at Presbyterian Village such a success. We had an incredible turnout. We could have had a congregational meeting, actually. It was a great turnout. We had a nice evening. It was perfect weather, so thank you, Shirley, Charlotte, all the planners. Thank you for making sure the weather was perfect for us. It was a great evening and a lot of fun, so thank you to everybody who made the time to come out and be a part of that. You'll find announcements in the bulletin about upcoming events. The one that I want to lift up to you especially is that next Sunday we will have a fifth Sunday brunch. That will be during the Sunday school hour, so if you come for brunch after worship, it'll all be gone. So come hungry before worship next week. There's information in the bulletin about it. I hope you'll make plans to join us, and you might bring a friend or two along to join us for brunch next week before worship. So friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad in it. Let us worship God in it. Let us center our hearts and our minds that we may prepare ourselves to worship our loving God. Thank you.
We come here shouting. Our voices lifted in praise.
We come here singing. Our songs full of joy.
We come here dancing. Our hearts rejoicing.
To the Holy One who is worthy.
All praise and glory forevermore. Let us pray. Lord of the dance, creator of whirling winds and shimmering flames, move in us this day. Breathe life into our songs of praise. Set our hearts ablaze to your word. May our worship bring joy to you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Seated. Brothers and sisters, we are complicated creatures. We have the capacity to love and to disdain, a propensity to cherish and ignore, a willingness to see what we want and be blind to what we do not.
We are time sinners and saints, heroes, heroines, and heretics. But at all times, in every moment of every day of creation, we are children of God. And as children of God, we are children of God's compassion, together with confidence that God's word of mercy is true, let us acknowledge where we fall short of the glory of God and recall where the mercy of God reaches our lives. David loved Jonathan, yet he was the first newborn of Jonathan's killer. David danced for joy in the streets, and Michael witnessed to the drunken excess. David's power and status grew. David wanted to build a temple. David built a legacy of broken lives. We are David. We are David.
Guilty of exploiting the
message in our care. We are David.
Unexpected hero and unconvincing scoundrel.
We are David.
We belong to God.
The proof of God's amazing love is this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. And the book of the Psalms. Before we go to God's Word, let's go to God in the Word of prayer. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and our minds, that as your Word is read and proclaimed, it may truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Amen. From the book of 2 Samuel, all the Israelite tribes came to David at Hebron and said, "Listen, we are your very own flesh and bone. In the past, when Saul ruled over us, you were the one who led Israel out to war and back. What's more, the Lord told you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be Israel's leader.'" So all the Israelite elders came to the king at Hebron. King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 40 years. He ruled over Judah for 7.5 years in Hebron. He ruled 33 years over all Israel and Judah in Jerusalem. Once again, David assembled the selected warriors of Israel, 30,000 strong. David and all the troops who were with him set out for Baalah, which is in Kiriath-Jearim in Judah, to bring God's chest up from there, the chest that is called by the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, who sits enthroned on the winged creatures. They loaded God's chest on a new cart and carried it from Abinadab's house, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were driving the new cart. Uzzah was beside God's chest, while Ahio was walking in front of it. Meanwhile, David and the entire house of Israel celebrated in the Lord's presence with all their strength, with songs, zithers, harps, tambourines, rattles, and cymbals. And from the 150th Psalm, "Praise the Lord! Praise God in God's sanctuary! Praise God in God's fortress, the sky! Praise God in God's mighty acts! Praise God as suits the Lord's incredible greatness! Praise God with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise God with lute and lyre. Praise God with drum and dance. Praise God with strings and pipes. Praise God with loud cymbals. Praise God with clashing cymbals. Let every living thing praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing to you, our Word and our Redeemer. In this and at all times, speak to us as only you can, in the silence of our hearts. Amen. Well, he was looking over my shoulder in the living room as I was putting the bulletin together this morning and saw the Lord of the Dance as the opening hymn. And after I'd explained that this was a text about David and the people dancing before the Ark of the Covenant, Brian asked me with great concern in his voice, "You're not going to dance, are you?" I assured him I was not. Of many gifts that God has blessed me with, dancing ain't one. Here this morning we have from 2 Samuel a text that many of you have probably never heard or read before. It doesn't appear in the lectionary. It's not one of those texts that when in a moment of crisis you turn to God's Word, you think to yourself, "I know where I'll go. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Those are the words of comfort I need to hear." No, it's a particular text about a particular moment in the life of the people of Israel. David has been anointed as the king. He has gone to retrieve the ark that holds the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. I remember when I was preaching this text once years ago, I was teaching it in Sunday school to a bunch of college students. And one of them said, "David danced in front of Noah's Ark?" I said, "No, it's the other Ark." I said, "Oh, the Indiana Jones Ark." I said, "Yes, that's exactly right." As the Bible tells us, David went and retrieved the Indiana Jones ark and brought it to the temple. But that iconic chest that Harrison Ford chased down in the first movie, the Ark of the Covenant, that contained the stone tablets of the law, the symbol of God's relationship and covenant with Israel, had been stolen years before. It had been hidden away for generations. But when David was king, they went and retrieved it and brought it back to Jerusalem. And they brought it into the temple with dancing and with music. Now, let me tell you something about this dancing and this music. They make it sound like the choir processing in on Christmas Eve, the way the text is translated. Friends, it isn't that. This is Mardi Gras and St. Patrick's Day. And that rare occasion when the Razorbacks win. All rolled into one moment. There was that level of excitement and anticipation and wonder. And it wasn't because the Indiana Jones Ark was back. It was because the thing that symbolized their relationship with the God of history was back in their midst. That thing that reminded them of their connection with the divine that had been missing from their lives no longer was. We, of course, do not have the Ark of the Covenant. If you watch the movie, you know it's stored in an army warehouse somewhere. So what do we do with this text? How do we join the people of Israel in this moment? Because number one, it's separated from us by such a long time. Even if we did have the ark, we don't really relate to God the same way. And we're Presbyterians, so we're not really big on parades and dancing. I know when, if you thought I was going to dance, it probably made you really nervous. Not just because of how bad it is, but because that's a lot of movement in a Presbyterian church. There were 30,000 people there that day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're a few short of that. So where do we go? What door do we enter into this text to find some commonality with the people of Israel and their joy in this moment? I think we find it not so much in what they're doing right then or the thing that they've recaptured and brought back into their liturgical home. I think the way into this text is through what the people are feeling in that moment. How they are swept up in joy in this moment when their connection to the divine is remade in their midst. Now, one of my very favorite movies is the movie Billy Elliot. You may remember it. It came out about 25 years ago. And Billy is a little boy who likes to dance, but he never can quite get there. Because he's always looking at his feet. He's always trying to get the steps right. And then finally he gets a piece of advice. He's told, just forget your feet. And once Billy forgets his feet, nothing can stand in his way. I think about that when I think about the kind of joy the people of Israel were feeling that day. It's like they forgot their feet. They forgot all of the things that held them down and held them back. They forgot all of the things that had gotten them into the situations they were in. All they could see in the world in that moment was the love of God for God's people. And they forgot their feet and they began to dance. I think, friends, that is our doorway this morning into this text. Because I don't know about you, but lately, watching the news, living in the world, I find myself watching my feet a lot, worried where I'm going to step, worried where I'm going to wander next, worried what traps may be lying in my path. We live in a world right now that is hurting and broken and suffering. I was in Chicago when the news came of the tragic killing of the little boy by his landlord, killed because of the little boy's faith and heritage. Just the other day, the president of a synagogue in Detroit was killed on her front steps because of her faith. There's not a lot of dancing happening in the world right now. And let's face it, most days it doesn't feel like there's a lot of reason to dance in the world right now. Sometimes it just kind of feels out of place. So I watch my feet. And I keep my hands in my pockets. Kind of wander around like that, like a middle schooler at the dance. Self-conscious because I don't want to show too much happiness or joy in a world that is so broken, so hurting, and so sad. You know, I think this text we have this morning from 2 Samuel and paired with it, the words we have from Psalm 150 are a reminder to us that this right here where we are is the very moment to quit looking at our feet. To stop thinking about our feet and dance in the joy of the God who loves us. Because let's face it, friends, in a world as cynical as ours, if we don't do it, who will? Right? But it still kind of feels unseemly, doesn't it? I'm going to dance with joy while bombs are falling on Gaza. I'm going to dance with joy when bombs are falling on Kyiv. I'm going to dance with joy while people are being killed for their faith. That would be pretty unseemly if we were dancing because of those things. But friends, that's not what the gospel calls us to do. You see, the gospel calls us to do what the people of Israel did. The gospel calls us to dance in spite of those things. And put more accurately, to spite those very things. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes into the world to remind us that those bombs over Gaza do not get the last word. That the violence in our communities does not get the last word. That prejudice and hate and Islamophobia and anti-Semitism and any other kind of ism or phobia you can name does not get the last word. Because we worship a God who would not lay down with death, but instead jumped up in life in the face of the brokenness of the world. So what does it mean to do that? If that's our calling, if we are called to dance in joy in the gospel in the face of this broken world, not because we find joy in it, but because we find joy beyond it, what does that dancing look like? What does that dancing look like in a broken and hurting world? We saw a little of it yesterday in North Little Rock. Yesterday was Central Arkansas Pride, and the Pride Parade wound through downtown North Little Rock. And there was this one guy on the corner with this big sign, and I didn't have time to read all of it, but he had a lot to tell us, apparently. He and God apparently talk a lot, and he had a transcript of their last conversation there. And he had a blowhorn. He was telling us all what he needed to like, get off his chest. But then, as we moved on block by block, the crowd got bigger and bigger and bigger, and yelling and cheering and clapping and running out and hugging the kids who were in the parade. And the kids were giving them balloons. And they were looking at these people who were walking openly down the street saying, "This is who God made me to be." Although the world they live in is imperfect. The world they live in says, "You're not good." The world they live in says, "We are going to change you. We know you better than you know you." But still, together, thousands of people got together and danced in the face of that world. Found joy in the face of that world. And most of the people in that parade, I'm going to tell you, were there in spite of what is happening in the world around them. And there were churches there. Our queer collective that meets here at Westover had a big group in the parade, bearing witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ that says, don't ignore the world as it is, but don't forget to dance remembering that there's more yet to come in the unfolding history of the God of life. It was an incredible day. It was a beautiful day. It was a fun day. It was a nice break from being down at the state capitol and losing every vote. It was a nice break from watching the news and seeing one more bloviator on there talking about all people's lives being so terrible and wrong. For just a moment, a brief moment, a community got together and forgot their feet and just danced and found joy in the midst of the world. And that, friends, is what the Church of Jesus Christ is called to do each and every day. To look into the world and find those places where hurting is happening. To look into the world and find those places where brokenness has taken up residence. And go to those places and dance as a reminder that there is more to this gospel message. There is more to this resurrection story. There is more to the story of God about you and about me. And that story that we share, that story of love and of compassion and of mercy and of grace, that story, friends, is worth dancing over. Even for me. Even for you. That story is so great, it'll get Presbyterians and Baptists dancing. And when we do, when we forget our feet, and we dance in the joy of the gospel, we remind the world that what is in the moment will not always be. But what was promised so long ago will never, ever leave us. So dance to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Play your instruments to the Lord. Forget your feet, friends, and proclaim the joy of our Lord of the dance. Amen.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith. We sang of God the Spirit, who from the beginning has swept over the face of creation, animating all energy and matter, and moving in the human heart. We sang of God the Spirit, faithful and untamable, who is creatively and redemptively active in the world. The Spirit challenges us to celebrate the holy, not only in what is familiar, but also in which seems foreign. We sing of the Spirit who speaks our prayers and deepest longing and unfolds our concerns and confessions, transforming us to the world. We offer worship as an outpouring of gratitude and awe, and the practice of opening ourselves to God's still small voice of comfort, to God's rushing whirlwind of challenge, to word, music, art, and sacrament, in community and in solitude. God changes our lives, our relationships, and our world. You may be seated.
As you know, over the last few Sundays, I've been trying to give you examples of where our stewardship dollars go out into the world from this place. This morning, I want to share a very special one with you. One of the things that we do with our church budget is support the work of the Presbytery of Arkansas. And in the Presbytery of Arkansas, one of the greatest things we have going for us is our youth ministry. Our presbytery, for the size that it is, produces more pastors than almost any other presbytery in the country. We right now have the 15th most people under care out of 160 presbyteries, but we're the 80th in size. We are doing something right with our young adults in this presbytery, and that's largely because our churches come together and fund a youth ministry and young adult ministry program that is thriving and is building new leaders for the future of the church. So friends, as you give, know that you give not just to this place, but beyond this place. Not just within these walls, but beyond these walls. And not just to the work of this church, but to the work of the whole church of Jesus Christ. Let us bring to God our tithes and our offerings, the offering boxes you'll find at the front of the intermediate aisles of the church this morning. It's always a challenge to figure out how to address world events in worship without letting those world events continually shape our worship. So this morning, we will address the violence in the world through the pastoral prayer. Part of the prayer you will hear is from the Mennonite Central Committee. It is a prayer that is written for all of those who are impacted by the violence of the war in Israel. Let's go to God in prayer. O God of life and love and peace, we witness the violence and injustice of our world, and our hearts break. Our hearts break for the people of Israel, for the victims of violent attacks by terrorist groups, for those who live with fear and insecurity, for those who suffer from the intergenerational trauma of violence. Our hearts break for Palestinians, for the victims of indiscriminate military action, for those without water, electricity, or medical care, for those who are refugees once again displaced from their homes. We pray especially, O God, that weapons of war in all places will be laid down. The walls of separation will be dismantled. The prisoners will be freed. And that all people will live in harmony and in peace. We know, O God, through bitter experience, that in times of war and violence, the next victim is often our own compassion, our own perspective, our own hope. Fill us, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that we may be voices for peace and justice for all people. O God, whose heart breaks for the world, may your justice dwell in the land and your righteousness abide in fruitful fields. May the effect of your righteousness be true shalom and trust forever. May the effect of true shalom be an enduring peace. We pray these things, O God, as we pray before you those things that weigh heavy on our hearts, as well as those things that give our hearts joy. We pray these things, O God, in the confidence of the children of God. We pray them not because we must, but we pray them because we trust in your word. Redeem us, O God, from all that would draw us away from you, and indwell us with your Spirit, that we may be better and more, that we may be better and more articulate proclaimers of your gospel in all that we say and in all that we do. We pray these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray and to be bold when we do it, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, friends, dance your way into the world, proclaiming and showing the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming and showing the love of God, proclaiming and showing the hope of the Spirit that sustains us all. Go with the blessing of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. May they be with us and keep us in this and in every day. And one voice, may God's whole chorus line say, Amen. Amen.